Hey everyone, today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 22 and starting in verse 23. The same day, Sadducees came to him, who say that there is no resurrection, and they asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies having no children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers among us. The first married and died, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. So too the second and the third, down to the seventh. After them all, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, of the seven, whose wife will she be? For they all had her." But Jesus answered them, "You are wrong, because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven. And as for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was said to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living." When the crowd heard it, they were astonished at his teaching. So remember, this is match two, if you will, in various opponents of Jesus among the leadership of Israel trying to discredit him. He's come into the temple. He's cleansed it. They've challenged him on his authority. He's told three stories that indict them and make them look like they're always opposing God. And now one by one, various groups try to challenge Jesus and expose him, make him look silly, make him look like he's going against the scriptures. First, the Herodians and the temple leadership tried to catch him on a question of taxes. And now the Sadducees come to try to catch Jesus on the question of the resurrection. It says they came on the same day. So I think we're to picture this all happening in quick succession, one after another. A quick note on the Sadducees. They're probably the most elite and richest of the various Jewish groups. They were connected to the temple. They are rich. They are probably sort of liberal-minded, anti-supernaturalists. They tended to not believe in anything that had, or a lot of things that have to do with the supernatural. And in particular, they didn't believe in the resurrection. And they only believed that the five books of Moses were authoritative. They didn't think you could look to any other books to establish doctrines. And this is part of why they didn't believe in the resurrection. But the other thing worth saying is that I think they didn't believe in the resurrection of the body, because this teaching is a challenge to everybody who loves the status quo as it is. They were at the top of the heap. They had comfortable, secure lives of comfort, respect by Gentiles and outsiders. And the doctrine of the resurrection says, in effect, hey, in the resurrection, things are going to be different than they are now. And so that threatened them. So for various reasons, they were opposed to this whole teaching of the resurrection. And I should add that other Jewish groups did believe in the resurrection. They're just picking on Jesus because they know he wants to, or that he believes in it, or he teaches it. And of course, pay attention to their question. It's really not, it's a mocking question. They are being almost vulgar in their attempt to expose what they think is the ridiculousness of the concept of the resurrection. And of course, it's hinged on what Moses said about if a man dies, his brother should marry his widow to raise up seed for the brother. And Jesus' responses, he says two things. Number one, you don't know the Bible. Okay, you guys don't know the scriptures. And number two, you don't know the power of God. And those are pretty big indictments. All right, they don't know the Bible. They are maybe more interested in the teachings of the Greeks because they're cultured than they are in the scriptures. And they don't know the power of God. They don't know, they haven't considered seriously what God is able to do. So let's look in more detail at what Jesus says. First of all, it's worth noting that Jesus is in part making the point that the resurrection of the body is not a mere resuscitation. It is a transformation into a new circumstance and a new situation. Look at Jesus' resurrection body. The disciples recognize it sometimes. They don't recognize it other times. It's glorious. It seems to have capabilities that his human form didn't have. And so the scriptures consistently teach us that the resurrection of the body is sort of a transformation into a new state. You might say going from an acorn to an oak tree, as Paul will compare it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So first of all, he wants to say, look, guys, the resurrection of the body is not just being made alive again in the same circumstances where marriage will prevail. I think it's worth noting that he says we will be like angels, not in every respect, but in the respect that they don't marry. A lot of people maybe talk popularly about, oh, somebody who's died has become an angel. It's not that. It's simply that marriage is no longer going to be a part of God's plan. And we assume that in the resurrection, something better than marriage will be a part of God's plan, which is pretty amazing because marriage itself is a wonderful gift from God. Then he says, and I think it's interesting, his language. He says, let's see, in verse 31, have you not read what was said to you by God? You can actually translate this as, have you not read what God is saying to you? In other words, Jesus has a very high view of Scripture. He's like, guys, okay, so you only like the first 5 books of Moses. Haven't you read it? And if you've read it, you will hear God speaking to you now, right? Scripture is a now address to the people of God. And they haven't listened, Jesus says, to what God is saying to them now in the Scriptures. And he uses this curious point. He says, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. This is a really beautiful point. In effect, Jesus is saying that I have so identified myself with Abraham that it is not until Abraham is raised from the dead that I can keep faith with who I have said that I am. Maybe putting it another way, God is not the God of corpses, of cadavers, of dust. He is the God of people. And so when God is speaking to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3 and says, I am the God of Abraham, Abraham's long been dead. But God is in effect saying, or Jesus is saying, that God is saying, I am not the God of dead people who are no more. I am the God of living people. And I commit myself in relation to them such that that relationship is permanent. And I will do whatever it takes to make that relationship permanent, meaning the resurrection of the dead. And this brings up a pretty important point about the teaching of the resurrection of the dead. Often Christians commonly believe that what Scripture promises is the spirits of the people of God with God in heaven in the end. That's not the biblical picture of God's final plan for everything. The picture of God's final plan for everything is the resurrection of bodies. Again, into a new and a mysteriously glorious state, but a resurrection of our bodies. And so we believe that the dead in Christ now are with God, but even they are awaiting the fulfillment of all of God's plans when God creates a new heaven and a new earth, and when all of his people are raised into newness of life in resurrection bodies. So many questions about what those bodies will be like. The scripture only gives us glimpses, but we need to be clear-headed about the promises. God likes bodies, he made them, and he intends to bring them into fulfillment. And I think for that reason, it's good to close with one of my favorite statements of Paul. This is in Romans chapter 8, toward the end, when Paul says this, he says, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons. So Paul is saying, well, we're adopted, but we're waiting the fulfillment of that adoption. And this is what he says the fulfillment is, the redemption of our bodies. Right, we've been adopted. It's legally happened in the death and resurrection of Jesus and the gift of the Holy Spirit. But the fulfillment of that adoption, our fully coming into sonship and being daughters and sons of God, is the redemption of our bodies. And by that, Paul means the resurrection of our bodies. So again, in match two, Jesus has thoroughly confounded those who have tried to catch him. And again, note, he's done it with only the scriptures they've relied on. He hasn't looked elsewhere in the Old Testament.